B-Pod Studios.
Haney, I don't quite know how we're going to deal with this guy. He claims that he has a 13-inch penis, 3 inches in girth. On the phone with us right now, Jonah Falcone. Is that how you say your name?
Jonah Falcon, as in the bird. That's my real name. No, I don't claim. Actually, you might have seen me on HBO already.
You were on HBO?
Yeah, Private Dicks, Men Exposed.
All right, easy. And what?
Missed that one.
I missed that one.
I was on Howard Stern last year as well.
You were on his show last year. Did you expose yourself on Howard's show?
Yes, and they rebroadcast it on E, and believe me, I got a lot of stunned looks.
You're mighty proud of this, aren't you?
I'm more matter of fact than proud. I mean, I was 8 inches when I was 10 years old, so I'm sort of used to it. I'm not kidding either.
That must have been tough in school, huh?
It was tough at first. You know, by the time I was in high school, I was basically a major, major wallflower. Try to remain out of sight any way I could, especially in the gym.
So you were very self-conscious.
Yeah, I was self-conscious until I made it to a baseball camp in Jersey, and then everybody treated me like a hero. Then I became a major show-off.
Right. Now, although we cannot say the website on the air because of certain words, you're a homosexual?
No. But no,
what the hell's that supposed to mean? You go both ways, don't you?
Maybe. Yeah.
All right.
I prefer a female.
But do they prefer you? I mean, that's got to be pretty intimidating for a lady friend.
Yeah. The thing is that usually those fears are unfounded because I'm pretty careful. I've had so much sex in my life. I started age 10. You know, it's boring unless I'm with someone who interests me. So.
Have you had a woman that was able to accommodate you?
Totally.
Yeah.
Not since I was 22 or so.
And you were shorter then.
Yeah, I mean...
Is this some kind of glandular problem where this thing is like, you know, like giants that keep growing and growing, like Andre the Giant? He never stopped growing as a human being. Is your deal
there? The thing is that no one else in my family is anywhere close to me.
Right, and you haven't, used those things that you see in the back of those vacuums?
No, surgery, no nothing like that. Although sometimes I wonder what would happen if I did, you know. Maybe I'll do it when I'm 45 and, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
Do you get dizzy when you're aroused?
Because
that'd take a lot of blood.
The thing is that I was 8 inches since I was 10 years old. My body's adapted a long time ago. I mean, if I was 6 inches a week ago, and I was 30, then I'd get dizzy now. But
sure.
My body's long, you know. I've been like this so long.
Now, you're making a movie about...
I wrote a script, yes.
Have you done... Now, this is a
non-pornographic.
Have you done porn films, though?
No. No.
Has anybody...
By the way, I'm changing my name, middle name from Adam to Jonah. I'm not a porn actor, Falcon.
Have
everybody
you been
asked that of me. Oh, you must do porn. No. Yeah. If I was a stockbroker, I'd be doing it, but I'm an actor, and it would sort of kill my career, you know.
Have you been approached?
Yeah, definitely. Tons of times, you know.
To do a film?
Oh, yeah.
And you've turned it down every time?
It shows.
So did you try to get that gig in Boogie Nights?
No, and the thing is that I really hated Boogie Nights. I thought it was one of the worst movies I ever saw. Not only was it homophobic, racist, and sexist, but the actors are all two-dimensional, you know, and the plot went nowhere. You know, any movie which has a documentary within it is crying for help.
Really?
You know? I loved it. I thought it was a great movie.
Oh, name one good thing about it.
Bert was in it?
Yeah.
Oh, Bert walked through that role. I mean...
He walked through that role and got an Academy Award nomination.
If you saw him in Meet Wally Sparks, he did the exact same acting job.
That was
a
great film.
Liz Smith said she couldn't understand why he was nominated. The reason why they nominated him was the same reason that James Coburn got won the Academy Award. He's old, he hadn't gotten one yet. And
you're a bitter man.
It was sort of a success story, you know. But the thing is that Burt Reynolds pissed everybody off because he essentially at the Golden Globes said, "Well, I never made a comeback. It was you who went away."
All right.
Sort of like a Norman Desmond line. That's why Robin Williams won.
Two words for you: Roller Girl.
Heather Graham is a good actress. She's actually a good actress.
I like that scene in the restaurant there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the movie didn't nothing in it really thrilled me.
No.
And I know something about Mark Wahlberg, though. He's 5'5", and let's just say he's proportionate.
So how do you know that?
Oh, trust me, I've had partners who shared with him. As a matter of fact, I got a story off the set from one of the costume people saying that they had to arouse him in order to put the prosthesis on.
Now, what about you growing up? I mean, you were large from a very young age, continued to get larger. I mean, you always had to wear loose clothing. I mean, difficult if, you know, you were on the beach, say, and, you know, got aroused.
I was never really aware of what I was wearing. So what's it called? I was showing off even when I was that age, but I didn't know I was showing off. I mean, once my cousin, who was 3 years older than me, looked at me and said, "Oh, I have a hard on, huh?" And I said, "No, why?" And he just shut up immediately and didn't say another word.
Now, you said you played baseball. Did you need, like, a custom cup?
Actually, no, I never wore a cup. Those are too painful. I was an outfielder, so I didn't have to worry about any dangerous line drives.
Yeah. Now, what about sexually now? Let's say, let's hope you practice safe sex. I mean, what...
I use Trojan N's largest. They're seven and three-quarters inches long. They only cover roughly half, a little bit more than half of it.
But that's all you're using anyway, right?
As long as they, what's it called, you know, don't allow any fluid transmission. I mean...
But really, it doesn't matter because you can only use about half of it anyway.
If I go in the wrong direction, they do break. I mean, I don't care what they say about stuffing a condom with a watermelon or a cucumber or water. It's not the same as living tissue.
Right.
But like you said, usually you only use about half of what you got anyway, right?
No, I managed to get in roughly 10 and a half to 11. Yeah, I mean, that's another reason why I wouldn't vacuum pump, because I'm too afraid of damaging what I have.
Now, where's the proof that you are the largest? I mean, like,
I was measured on camera by the HBO documentary Private Dick's Men Exposed at 9.5 inches.
Because what happened to this guy?
They didn't include it in the final airing. I was disappointed. They went back and forth on it, from what I was told from Mima and Tom, and they decided not to go with it. The thing is, you know, the thing that really annoys me is that Fate got the most time of anybody. He got like 3 minutes of time, and he revealed himself as Alan Abel.
You're bitter.
Don't get catty.
Hey, look. You know, I wanted more airtime. I didn't get it. So.
Well, I need to bring a caller. Called up, and we said that you were coming on the air, and brought up the name Long Dong Silver.
Well, you know, from what I hear, that was a prosthesis.
And, really? Your inside people tell you that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, tell you something about porn actors. They all exaggerate. I mean, Jeff Stryker goes around saying he's 10 inches. He's not anywhere near that. You know, so I did something that a porn actor would never do, and that is I put myself to the ruler.
How many rulers?
Bureau doesn't really care, but they really ought to have truth in advertising.
Well, you put yourself to a ruler, you had to use more than one ruler.
They use a tape measure, actually. The ruler is just apocryphal.
Now, Ron Jeremy, porn actor Ron Jeremy, says that,
13
you know...
13 and a half, not 13. Yeah.
He says, big deal, that you're only about a half inch bigger than the legendary John Holmes, and that there are probably undocumented guys that are larger than you.
I've been on the HBO documentary. If there's any 15-inch guys out there, please do not look me up. Let me at least remain the biggest in my own private world, you know?
Well, I'd imagine you could probably find several in the city of Compton alone.
I've never been there. But, no, the thing is that, you know, I don't care about, you know, what's it called, that sort of thing. I'm not a very, you know, I'm competitive, but I'm not that competitive. And, you know, but the thing is that I allowed myself to be measured, you know.
Right.
If you're going to claim something, then darn it, get the proof and show it to
and
the world.
And you got the proof, and you've shown it to the world.
Yeah, the film is going to be R-rated, but I'll put in a full frontal nude scene. As a matter of fact, in the very beginning.
No.
And I hope, you know, someone, you know, I'm going to make this film either by, you know, either with my own shoestring budget or if someone actually gets interested in, but it'll make for a great trailer, you know.
Jonah Falcon doesn't use a prosthesis.
Right.
You know, that sort of
Were you abnormally large at birth?
Maybe. I don't have any of those pictures.
Well, I just, you know, wonder if, you know, the doctor, you know, yanked you out and said, holy Christ.
No, sir, that's the umbilical cord.
Now, last two questions for you, and they're the two obvious questions. Best advantage and biggest disadvantage.
Okay, well, the best advantage is that...
and remember, you know, keep it clean here.
The best advantage is that, you know, it does give you a sort of sense of, confidence, you know, or at least you don't have to worry about certain things, you know. And actually, you know, I may not be able to get anyone I want, you know, when I'm interested, but at least I can get sex any time I want.
Right.
You know, not with anyone I want, because, you know, people have different tastes, and, you know, a lot of times the girls who are my type I'm not their type, which is disgusting.
Sure. Well, yeah.
You ever just...
And the biggest disadvantage, aside from the fact that in every single movie you ever see, a man with an unusually large penis is always a big white doof, and I'm not a big white doof. You know, there is this sort of, you know, view of what I am, you know, what I should be.
Right, but you're not.
No, I'm not. I mean, I went to Bronx High School of Science, which is considered the best, one of the best high schools in all of the United States.
But that's not what you're known for.
No.
Till the day you die, you'll be known as the man with the 13.5-inch penis.
Right, but I hope that's just one characteristic.
You know, you may get some funding and you may get more people noticing you. You know, don't worry about going on Howard or HBO, but you might want to go on that Guinness Book of World Records on
Fox.
They
don't record that stat. I already checked.
Oh.
They do the longest fingernails, but not the longest hair. The most times, someone just broke the world record for kissing 30 straight hours.
Right, but they don't do that.
No.
All right. Jonah Falcon, thanks for coming on.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What the?
You see, it all works out.
Yeah.
What the Lord may bless you with in one area, it will be sacrificed somewhere else. For instance, this man blessed with just an enormous unit, but you have to sacrifice a little upstairs if you're going to get that.
This guy's a bitter man.
Excuse me. Too much to say. That's been... Wow. Thank you, Hazel. That's been part of my mission. Representing poor people through the Legal Services Corporation. It was about making people's lives better. And it taught me that even if you're young and you don't have a powerful job, if you work at it, you stick with it, you can make a difference.
Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. So damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us warm done twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Stan, don't press the red button. Damn it. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Thank you for joining us. And I don't know how to react to this. Let's get the rain done now so that later on today it goes away. It's nasty outside
because,
here
yeah,
in broadcast house.
Now it's going to affect the phone.
This is why I want...
Does the text line still work?
Yeah, well, that's broken too, but
it's been being held together with hay and baling
yes,
water.
Yes, there was a temporary fix that was given to it, and that's there. Oh, somebody's on hold. Who's on hold now?
Why would somebody be on
hold? I don't know. We just started. Ahoy!
Hey, ahoy! How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Do you have an exciting offer for us?
What's going on?
Well, you know, I was listening to your previous guest and how well he's endowed.
Yeah,
But I'm wondering if he was bigger than Milton Berle, who's legendary.
Milton Berle's a friend of ours, by the way, so be careful.
Also, I love Milton Berle, but he was legendary. He was supposedly so big they made a plaster cast out of it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, that was more of the hippie era with Hendrix and Cynthia Plastercaster.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that, but I mean, this guy has bragging rights. So I have to put Milton Berle right up there with him.
Yeah. You know what? It's been nice talking to you, but break's over. We should probably get back to work.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Break time's over, folks.
Yeah.
Sure did enjoy it, but... all good things must come to an end. Yeah.
So go back to work.
Yep.
Break time. He did mention Milton Berle. That guy, and I think you were the one that found him.
I am evidently responsible for all kinds of things.
Yeah, you don't even know you did.
Well, got nothing to do with me, but okay.
He was a long-standing laugh, a foil, if you will, on the Daily Show. And who was back in the day the woman reporter?
Samantha Bee.
That's her. She found this guy. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually went on to Stern. He went on to the HBO documentaries and all.
Oh, at that time, the Daily Show had like an all-star cast, not only of camera talent, but their producers would go and find good stuff.
So she interviewed him. And no joke, the guy, dork, as you heard, but he wanted to be a legitimate actor. As a matter of fact, if you look at his little thing on the web, the IMBDC, he had like minor roles in The Sopranos.
But before you go to that, you got to type in
double backslash. But he's had minor roles since he's been on this show. But back in the day, he wanted to be known as a serious actor. So Samantha Bee took him to like one of the leading acting schools for movies. They had to audition, read scripts, and there was nothing they could. He was so bad.
And then he ended up on The Sopranos.
As like a person number three or victim number three.
That's pretty successful.
So he reads, and he can't read through the script, so she brings him back in like a pair of tights. Yeah, there she is. There she is interviewing. And this is when he was trying to get his audition. See, well, let's bring him back in and try to do it again. And so you said we got to see if we can get this guy on, and you heard not much there.
The results. Yeah.
To this day, spends most of his time unemployed and living with his mom. Or if necessary, we'll stay at Haney's house for a night. Sorry about that. Sorry. See now she takes him to see this piano virtuoso who knew at four he was meant to play the piano, and she says, "See, you're meant to be in porn. You knew at an early age that you were large.
Yeah,
and that's what you should be in." And then we're watching it from The Daily Show. Watch the pianist's expression.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, bud.
Yeah. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, it tortured him.
But he's still around.
Why was he cursed?
Yeah, he feels like he was cursed because he said, the second I do porn, I lose all respect as an actor. And that she told him in the interview, you've already lost respect. Yeah.
But he's not aware of this.
Different? No, he's not.
In his world.
We're getting little power surges in here. Pardon us. There's a storm coming through.
Everything's great.
There's Samantha Bee when she wanted to see what life was like being him. Well, you got to take a break.
You know, those Daily Show alumni.
They were great. It was great.
And then it all went to hell.
Of course it did.
They're not funny anymore.
No, because what does that have to do anything with politics? Nothing. There. She thought he should advertise on it.
Sell advertising on it.
There you go. We'll be back.
A distant deep space civilization has been consistently sending signals to the people of Earth for millennia. For the past two decades, we've been sending them this. Then they stopped sending the signal. Oh, well, f*** them if they can't take a joke. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Well, hi there, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us Thursday afternoon. What that means is we'll have the grab bag here for you in just a second. In about an hour, we'll play Stan's What's on the List. For those of you who've been wondering, we got Pewter Mug back. So we got Pewter Mug gift certificates. Also a chance to pick up some corn tickets.
Wait a second.
Coral Sky?
They must be feeling generous. It's the 18th.
Who?
Pewter Mug. I thought we burned through all our pewter mugs.
No, we burned through June, and July started with us on vacation.
Okay. All right.
So now we got a fresh batch.
So everything's good.
Yeah. Corn tickets. Also, later on today, our question of the week. Let's do the grab bag right now, brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 in North Naples.
Send her back. Send her back.
Oh, he's getting heat because the crowd was chanting it.
You know what? We just got to own it.
Oh, she's a real beauty. I love that line. Oh, what a beauty.
What is this about her being married to her brother? I don't know. I hear things.
Yeah.
I hear things. I don't know.
This one here, Omar.
But somebody said something about her being married to her. Somebody should look into that.
Yeah. Oh, dude, she's a real beauty.
I never thought I could love a president this much.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It is. It's a love fest, isn't it? Is there any greater place than a Trump rally?
Yep. It is a love fest. All right, follow me on this. This story came out earlier in the week, and it's been around. Dave and Chuck the Freak talked about it earlier. My girlfriend saw it on the news a few days ago. We got the actual guy now talking. This is true. It happens. A guy in Kentucky thought he had gotten sawdust in his eye. Couldn't wash it out. So he
kind of like what happened to you on the golf course.
Yes. No, that was a sty. So he went to the doctor, the eye doctor. What's wrong, doc? I think I got some sawdust in my eye. No, he found out a tick had attached himself to the guy's eyeball.
Do we know if it was a weaponized tick or a natural tick?
Wood tick. Here you go. Here's the guy himself.
I've had ticks on me. You know, I've hunt and stuff like that. Yeah. Ticks are so bad this year, we always try to spray down really good. Really didn't think nothing of it. Think it was sawdust or something like that. And the thing of it is, I really didn't want to go to the doctor. And then when the doctor finally come in, he was looking at it. He said, well, I know what's in your eye. He said, it's a tick. And that's when I got scared a little bit. Once he grabbed a hold of it and pulled it off, the tick made the, like a little popping sound when it come off my eye. You can't spray your eyes, so.
No. Let me tell you something, and I haven't experienced it in Florida like I did when I lived up north. We lived on a farm, a lot of woods, and if you let your dog run out into the woods, or you yourself went out into the woods, occasionally you would catch a tick on yourself, or that's how you get the Lyme disease. But your dog would come in and have a tick. I had one embedded in my head once, latched on, and here's the thing with a tick.
Did your parents put a lighter to it?
You got to do something, because if you pull a tick off,
you don't get it.
And its head stays in there, you don't get it. And you can't step on a tick.
You got to make it let go first.
They got like an armor on them, and you literally have to cut them in half in the body to kill them. So if you think you can squash a tick, you can't.
They just come back.
They just come back. Ticks are bad.
Did you see that the House of Representatives is conducting a formal inquiry as to whether, you know, up in the Northeast where they got their Plum Islands and certain research facilities, and there's rumors about them. House of Representatives is doing an inquiry to try and find out, and Fort Detrick, all that stuff.
Yeah.
They're doing a inquiry to see if the Army will admit that they developed Lyme disease as a weapon.
It's a good one. As long as we're on the same side, I don't know what community is. I just saw it passing as a headline. I didn't stay for the story. I was watching the news this morning.
Probably, you know, right around the point that, you know, it was time for the constitutional.
Yep. Well, yeah, right around there. You know, I'm getting my stuff together. I said, let's hit the bathroom one more time.
I'd like to see that story, but
it
got more pressing matters.
I don't know what town it's in. There's a community. I don't know if it's a state, a community, where they're claiming that it's sexist to call in the street a manhole.
What?
You know,
what?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Berkeley.
Is it Berkeley?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah. They don't want it. You know, we got to go into the middle of the street and get down that manhole. That's sexist. They want to change the name of manholes. Why, what the hell?
Thank
Berkeley.
God.
That explains it.
Thank God for our president. Because otherwise, that's who's in charge.
Yeah. I don't get it. Yeah. Don't say manhole.
That is just... When the nonsense is that blatant...
Yeah, it's... It's
like something beyond anger. Because I'm not numb to it, but I can't get seriously angry at it because it's that dumb.
Everybody knows men drive better than women. It's a fact.
A natural fact.
And that's not being sexist. It's just women...
Statistics show.
And women do not drive as well as men. Case in point. Dateline, New Jersey. I think it was Hoboken, New Jersey.
And for those of you offended by the story, what I'd suggest you do while we're doing the story, watch the trailer for a movie called Heart Like a Wheel, the Shirley Muldowney story.
Woman in New Jersey was leaving a car wash on Tuesday. And, you know, you get through the car wash, you know, and the light turns green. You got to put the car in gear and go. When she was leaving the car wash, she mistook the gas pedal for the brake pedal, drove out of the car wash and straight into a river. Oh, here you go. I'll let you see this. There, come out of the car wash. There we go.
What the?
Here she is. Here she is.
Explaining. I mean, there was no hesitation. No, she gunned it.
Yeah, out of the car wash, car nice and clean, and then just keeps gunning it. Here she is.
Just finished car wash, and somehow my car just went. Before you change your gear, you brake and then ready to drive. But I felt it accelerated. I said, oh, no.
As soon as we submerged into the water, I kind of thought, like, okay, maybe we might not make it out.
She told me, Mom, open the window, open the window. And I got out. But then I said, oh, no, it's water. I don't know how to swim. So I screamed. We got to swim.
Mama. And then the guys from the car wash, they saw us and they called us out.
I want to thank those people who helped us get out. Otherwise, we would have drowned.
Oh, we love you, Mama, but you no drive no more.
And you know what? And that's her name.
Mama. Mama, why you got to go and put the car in the water?
It's not just the family, the neighbors. Hi, Mama.
Mama, what happened to your car?
We love our president. I also admire Ron DeSantis.
Oh yeah,
he's doing a good job. Love this. You won't see this happen in San Francisco. You won't see this happen in L.A. You won't see this happen in Portland, Oregon. Listen to this. This is great. And he's getting a lot of heat for it, or at least the area, the park is. Officials in charge of a park in West Palm Beach have started playing continuous loops of children's songs to prevent homeless people from sleeping overnight in the park. They play it nonstop. Some people think it's a little heartless, but state officials say, hey, they're doing this, and it includes Baby Shark. And it,
oh, nice.
And it includes this.
Jeez.
It's raining tacos.
Aggravating. Really aggravating.
Raining tacos.
I think that there is a fine line between being humane and inhumane when trying to deal with the homeless. All of us are probably just one paycheck away from being homeless, and so I would want someone to be compassionate with
no.
me.
No. Play the music. There's kids in that park. Oh. Okay. All right. This, I saw this story this morning, and I can only revert back to my childhood. This is 5-year-old Stan and his dad.
Are you sure this is arable?
Yes. This is Do you want to know what Stan's childhood was like? This is kind of it.
So this is our little Rocky here?
Yeah. Dateline Daytona Beach.
Now that's my hometown.
Yeah. A drunk guy got arrested. He was drunk. After he almost let his 5-year-old son drown while teaching him to swim. According to the witnesses, and you'll hear from them, he would take his son at the beach, bring him out in the deep water, and tell him, swim your way in. You're going to learn to swim.
So it's the old sink or swim method.
Yes. And the kid would come back up on shore, and he'd throw him back out there again. Swim! Swim!
So the kid's exhausting himself over and over again.
Yeah, and he thought he was doing the right thing. I guess it was right near the pier, and he wouldn't stop yelling at the kid, telling him to swim. You're going to learn to swim. Luckily, an ex-cop named Mitch Brown.
That's not downtown Mitch Brown,
is it? It is. Yes, it is. Happened to be there and put an end to it. Enough's enough, Dad.
And I said, I can't take this no more. So I went down to the pier, down on the sand, and confronted him myself. And the little kid was out here by himself, completely by himself. There was nobody around him, no adults. I said, you're coming with me one way or the other. The kid was already visibly upset and crying and didn't want to be there.
Little Rocky didn't want to be there either.
No. When we were kids, nobody cared if a kid didn't want to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a rat's ass.
It didn't matter. You're there. Accept it. It's true.
In any figure of authority that would show up, if there was any question, they would not be taking your side.
All right, can I tell you a quick little story?
Go ahead, get it off your chest.
I gotta. This is. I see.
You
this.
Got. You got so many
it's
of them.
It's my old man. So
freaking psychopath.
So my old man was a professional boxer.
Professional and many things.
When I was young. And when I was young, although you can't tell it now, I was a scrawny kid. I was very skinny.
But you had gigantic calves.
I did.
Even then?
I was about, I would say, I had to be nine or ten. And my father's buddy, Butch Azarito, came over. Butch Azarito was a SEAL in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've talked about him.
Yeah. Great guy. And he didn't want to do it. And so Butch comes over to the farm and...
So Butch is a real-life frog man.
Oh, yeah. Nice. No, absolutely. He had... He gave it to me because he didn't want any of his stuff. I had his military shirt that had the patch on that had the frog and the space capsule on it. Because he was the one that would have to dive in and put the collar on the...
How awesome is that?
So Butch came over the house... And it was just...
I'm surprised your dad would have somebody like Butch around, because your dad likes being the man.
He didn't last long.
Okay.
And so Butch came over and saw me and was just making small talk. He said, hey, been working out, been boxing a little bit. I said, yeah, I've been boxing a little bit.
And how old?
9 or 10.
Okay.
I said, yeah, I've been boxing a
little
bit.
Rocky boxing?
Yeah. He's been working on that jab and all. I said, yeah, I've been working on it. And so my old man says, I got the gloves out back. Butch, throw the gloves on and show him what a man does when he fights. And Butch is, Stan, I don't want to do that. Go ahead.
Nine-year-old Rocky is there, and Dad thinks it would be a good idea to have Rocky fight a Navy frog man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a true story. So,
you know, would have been nice maybe if he started you out with a couple of 12-year-olds first. Work your way up to the frog.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Well, after I beat the neighborhood kids, they weren't allowed to come around anymore. So I put the gloves on with Butch. Now, Butch does not want to do this. And so I start, jabbing around a little bit. And I, you're raised as a kid, respect your elders, do not raise a hand to anybody. But this is supposed to be a little bit of athletics. And so my old man's there, show him the jab, show him the jab. And so Butch is opening up his guard and letting me pop him in the mouth. It's not hurting him. He's shaking it off. He's blinking a little bit because I caught him in the nose a couple of times. And out of reflex, I saw Butch Azzurrito crying after this happened. I went and like threw a hook, and he came automatically with a cross that caught me square on the chin.
Before he even had a chance to think.
Before he even had a chance to think. Before I, there was no way in the world I was going to react to it. He came across with a little right cross, caught me right on the chin, and knocked me out cold. Next thing I knew, I was waking up on the ground. And Butch was beside himself. Beside himself. And I remember him telling my old man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I just caught him. I was just... And my father, oh, don't worry about it. He's fine. Go wash yourself up. And I remember going into the bathroom, cleaning myself up. And the window to the bathroom was open. And I could hear Butch sobbing outside because he caught me and knocked me cold. Because he didn't want to do it.
So he didn't last long.
No, he did not.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Because somebody that's an alpha like that, that would be receiving accolades for his service.
But he really wasn't an alpha. He, Vietnam did something to him.
No, but I mean, regardless of his personality, people find out about that and they go, hey, Butch is the man.
That's why he got rid of everything. He used to always bring stuff to me. Ah, you want this belt that I have?
So didn't want...
None of it.
Mm-mm.
Okay. We've done this before. We've featured this before. With men. Her name is Helen Leahy. And she just went into the Guinness Book of World Records for the lowest vocal note sung by a female.
Now, is this a biological female?
Yeah.
I mean, are we allowed to ask?
She hit... I don't think so. Haney, she hit the note of D2.
What is D2?
And registered at 72.5.
What is D2?
I don't know. You're a musician. The musical note D2.
Well, I would know D sharp, D flat.
Yeah.
Or is it? Are they talking octaves here?
I think must it's be an what octave. It is. Yeah. It's here. You go. She brings it down. Now, we featured the guy, Tim Storms. He's the guy that can go the lowest. He goes down about 8 octaves. They say he goes so low.
It's taking it so low you can't hear it.
Yep. I'm gonna play this. Let's wrap up the grab bag with this. I like him, Mark Maron, and he was on the Tonight Show saying something so very obvious on how people are influenced. This is so true. Take a listen to him.
If you make a column of things you're pretty sure you know,
yeah,
and then you make another column of how you know those things, about 90% of that second column is just like, yeah, some guy told me. You know, like,
that is true.
Right, so the point being is like, and you never know when someone's just going to randomly dump some crap into your head. Some guy you don't know that well, and out of nowhere they're going to say something like, you taking turmeric? And then, you're like, what, turmeric? Yeah, you got to take turmeric. And you're like, turmeric? The spice? Are you talking about the spice? And he's like, yeah, you got to take that. Wait, the spice that you buy once to make an Indian recipe and you never use it again and it stains your wooden spoon? That turmeric?
Stains your spoon, yeah.
He's like, yeah, you got to be taking that. And I'm like, no, I don't. You know, like in my mind, that's ridiculous. I'm just tired of all that hype around stuff. But, you know, I'm taking it, you know. And well, he told me it was for inflammation. Then I said, what do you mean inflammation? He says, you know, general inflammation. I'm like, what is that? And he's like, well, it's a new bad thing that causes all the other bad things, you know. And then I'm like, oh, what happened to cholesterol? He's like, ah, it turns out that's good for you.
I like him. I loved his, he does a podcast.
Yeah, I enjoy him.
And he's very good. And he had his show on the comedy channel.
Yeah.
With him doing it.
Well, I enjoyed it because I guess he had gone through such rough times of not making it.
Yeah.
That he doesn't have the showbiz perspective. He has the real perspective.
Yes. That's what his show is about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very good. The grab bag has been brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
What the hell is going on? You see that map?
Yeah. Oh, it's a heat wave.
It says it's 95 in Tampa, but 105 in Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
What the?
Two-thirds of the country is in a massive heat wave.
It's very pleasant out, isn't it?
We're having a heat wave.
That's not a song.
A tropical heat wave.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah. No, I've heard that before.
What song is that?
I don't know.
We're having a heat wave.
A tropical heat
tropical
wave.
Tropical heat wave.
I swear to God, that's a song.
We're having a heat wave from Tampa all the way to Old St. Louis.
All the way across the USA. That's a song.
That is not a song.
I'm going to tell you, we're having a
we're
heat
having
wave.
We're having a heat wave.
A tropical heat wave.
A tropical
is
heat
that,
wave.
Is that, do you have the song? Hold on. Wait a second. Is that the song?
I'm not sure what song you're referring to, but this song's called Heat Wave.
Hold on, let me hear it.
Because if that's a real song, I want to groove to that.
We're having a heat wave.
A tropical heat wave?
A tropical heat wave.
Yes! I told you! I told you! We'll be back, Stanley.
96 K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Phone lines are open. 277-96 00. It's a 239 area code if you're outside of our immediate area. Our buddy Alex Jones, who lives in the Midwest, texted us and said, normally I would refrain from bitching about the weather, but walking outside is like
insane.
Walking into an oven. He says, my electric bill is going to be insane. It's
hot.
Yeah,
I saw it in the middle of the country, 105 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, it's two-thirds of the country are in a massive heat wave right now. What would you rather have? Now, Haney and I, living in Florida, we've made our decision. But you have people in the Midwest, up in the Northeast, that are going through a heat wave right now. And somebody on some blog posted just a friendly reminder to you, and it was a picture of a blizzard up north and the cars buried in the snow. Ask yourself the question, most Floridians have already made the answer, Annie and I have, would you rather have to sit through and bear with it a heat wave where afternoon temperatures would get up to 100 degrees, 101, or do you want to live through like a northeast blizzard where you're snowed in and ice
Stan,
everywhere
Stan,
and the
please.
Temperature is like 10?
Please. With what's going on now, you can have it all.
Yeah. Oh, look, we were doing that story about the lady driving into the river out of the car.
Oh, Mama?
Yeah, Mama. And somebody requested this, and it's true.
Depending on how you drive and your car's condition, you can get incredible mileage from the Goodyear Custom Wide Tread Polyglass tire. But polyglass means more than mileage when your wife has to drive alone. a woman's at the wheel. Uh-huh. Polyglass means more than mileage.
Thank you, Polyglass.
Here's another one. A woman that can't change a tire.
This flat tire needs a man. But when there's no man around... When there's no man around, Goodyear should be. Why? Watch this. New Goodyear Double Eagle carries its own spare inside. Lifeguard safety spare. A tire in a tire. Keeps on going. Next time, give her a second chance.
Next time, give her a second chance.
Need to send that to Omar and her squad.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't know. Their head would explode. Yeah, that was what you call national advertising right there from a major company.
That's the way it should be. Stan,
what?
I have to thank you because you have done a wondrous thing today.
What?
And I accuse you, which was actually a compliment, of making it up. Because we were talking about the heat wave, and out of nowhere, Stan burst into song.
Yeah, we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave.
And it sounded like a lot of Stan's previous work, like Vote.
I wrote that.
Yeah. So I thought maybe that's something that you had made up that didn't exist.
It's a real song.
And I am in love with it now.
Who's this one now? Who's singing this one?
Ella Fitzgerald. Boy, that's remastered.
That's a horrible version. Find a better.
That's a little better. Let's see if we can keep getting better.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Oh, I guess it was written by Irving Berlin.
One of the geniuses. That's brassy.
This speaks to us, doesn't it?
We're having a heat wave.
There we go. What kind of heat wave?
A tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising. It isn't surprising. She certainly can.
Yeah.
Started the heat wave.
What kind of heat wave?
By letting her seat wave.
Oh.
And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can.
We should just have an orchestra in here at all times.
That'd be great.
So whenever you bust into having a heat wave,
right there. Wave,
Doc and the boys just pick up.
The way that she moves, that thermometer proves that she certainly can.
Where did this come from in your head? Where did
you
hear this?
Exactly. You know what? And thanks to program director Matt Mangus. It came from an episode of MASH. Now, that's how he remembered it. And I say to myself, that must have been where I originally heard it.
Because that song lives in your head.
Because those of you that like the show MASH or watched it, there was an episode, and he was just telling me about it, and I remember the episode where the 4077 was in the middle of, like, a freeze. It was super cold. They had no heat. And Hawkeye, Alan Alda, thought it would be a good idea to warm things up, do songs about...
And have, like, a tropical luau.
Yeah, and make it, like, you know, it was warm outside when it really wasn't. See, that would normally not come to me. I'd think of like a Mungo Jerry for myself about things being hot.
What about Martha and the Vandellas or Linda Ronstadt?
Yeah, that too.
But this.
Yeah.
This is quite a find.
Yeah. Did anybody else do that song? Is it strictly Ella's?
Ella is the only one that... that pops out. There are other songs called Heat Wave, but
not this though. Not the Irving Berlin song.
Well, let me look a little further. I was just glad to find it.
Someone also just texted that it is also the theme song for Grumpy Old Men, the movie. It's when the movie opens up. It's
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either, but that's two people have just texted that and said that that's what it is.
Yeah, there's a couple of other people that did it.
Hold on, let's see. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Wes.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, just want to let you know you were wrong about that episode. It was the episode where they actually were having the heat wave, and Hawkeye and them were all excited because they had just gotten a bathtub that they wanted to keep secret. And Hawkeye was all excited because it was his time to get into the bathtub with his rubber ducky, and he was singing it.
I don't know about that.
The can is really,
I know one person who'll know that. And I can't call her on the air because she's working. What episode? Who's doing this?
Bing.
Ah!
The can-can she dances will make you fly. The can-can.
Oh my goodness. Let's hear this one.
Uh-oh. Who's this?
I want to see if you can figure it out.
Ow! We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising, she certainly can. Can!
I don't know, the Ames Brothers?
A heat wave.
Who is it?
I don't know if another part comes in, but it's from a movie soundtrack. It's credited to Irving Berlin and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, didn't it? Oh, that's her.
Ow, 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 ow! Having a heat wave. A tropical heat wave.
So then she'll, like, coo for a little bit.
What's your name, honey?
Certainly can.
Chico.
Certainly can.
Miguelito.
Pablo. Chico. Miguelito.
I don't know if these are real or not, but I think they are.
My concept of reality has been broadened.
See if you can find the Ethel Merman version. Someone said Ethel Merman.
Oh, I bet that's tremendous.
Ethel Merman did the song in 1939 in the film Alexander's Ragtime Band. Ethel Merman. Is that it?
Ethel Merman, she was the previous generation's Axl Rose.
Yes. Where's the vocal?
Rising.
Oh, there we are.
Heat wave. We're having a heat wave. The temperature's rising. It isn't surprising. She certainly can.
Now we're cooking.
Ella Fitzgerald's got something on her.
By letting her feet wave. And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can.
People make fun of Ethel Merman, but when Axel does it, they love it.
Yeah. That's where he learned to sing.
Jump to 93. Yes, so we're having a
I'd love to isolate the vocal and put a metal version of this out.
The way that she moves that thermometer proves that she certainly can.
You see, Stan,
jeez.
Like I was saying the other day, I don't belong in this time. And you said, well, when would you be? I said, I don't know, between 1900 and 1930, maybe. But Ethel Merman was a huge star.
Oh, she was a big star.
And she would be nothing today.
Nope.
Nothing.
She got her, was a Broadway singer. She sang it. She was in a ton of Broadway shows. And then they recorded her. And then she made the crossover into movies. If you've ever seen the movie, it's a mad, 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 mad world.
Yes.
She's in that movie. And as loud as ever.
That's what she was known for. Loud.
Well, No Business Like Show Business was her main song. That was her signature song. No Business Like Show Business. Is that on there? Then we got to take a break.
Be careful but you got to
hear her. Oh, hi. Who is this?
Hey, Stan.
Hey.
I believe Elvis Presley also covered Heat Wave.
The King?
Did he really?
We'll check.
I believe so. When I was a kid, I remember him.
All right, we'll check. All right, thank you. All right. What's this? No, that's not it. That's that 39 movie. It's the best band in the land. There's no business like show business.
There's no people like show people. They smile when they are bold. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. You go on with the show.
I guess Heatwave is on the soundtrack for No Business Like Show Business.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, she is doing this. That's evidently the production version. But
this is from the movie.
Everywhere she would go, she would have to sing that song.
Oh, yeah, whether she was playing New York or Poughkeepsie.
And she wouldn't have it with accompaniment. She'd do it. She'd belt it out on her own.
What do you mean, a cappella?
No, she'd done that, too. But just... See, she's singing with background singers there. Okay.
There's no there you business go. Like show business, like no business I know.
Big
everything
hit.
Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow.
Sprinkle window.
Nowhere could you get.
Gotta send the vocal track to Slash and let him work out the rock arrangement.
There's no people. Like show
that's
people.
Axel, baby.
They smile when they are alone.
I wish she was still alive. Get here going.
We've been dancing with Mr. Brownstone.
And there you are. And let me tell you, with Ethel Merman, there was nothing feminine about her. She could put a fist through a wall.
And did on occasion.
The costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props.
Somebody just...
The
she has a cameo in Airplane and sings this song.
The heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town.
She was a huge star.
Big star.
The opening when your heart beats like a drum. Right,
am I wrong or is that Axl Rose?
He sings a lot like her.
Very influenced by Ethel Merman.
Imitating her.
Yes.
Business like show business like no business I know.
You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn.
If that was our job,
and top of that,
we're Ethel Merman's backup boys.
Lot was demanded of him.
And all we have here.
There's no business like show business like no business I know.
That's all we'd have to do.
Is that towards the end? Because she's got her grand
yes.
crescendo.
20 there. Seconds.
There you go. For a sack of gold, let's go on with our show. Let's go on with our show.
Jesus Christ. Cigar.
Barrett, Hawaii 5-0.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rock.
Stan here.
This is 86 calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
Mess speaking.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. We're going to give you a chance to win here in just a second. I'll go over some prizes. We're going to play Stan's What's on the List.
We're having a heat wave.
About,
what kind of heat wave,
tropical,
Stan?
Tropical heat wave. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Hour away from our question of the week.
You know what? It's a shame you won't do play acting anymore, because I bet we could do just one hell of a musical.
We sure could. You know, when you're having a discussion and then
you're having a heat wave.
And you're having heat. Boy, I'm telling you, it's hot outside. It's very.
How hot is it?
It's very tropical. It's almost like a tropical heat wave.
What's that you say?
We're having a heat wave.
A tropical heat wave.
Oh, yep.
But that's all the words we can remember.
Yep, I don't do play acting anymore.
No, you quit.
No, I did.
And you were so good at it.
I know.
Especially in drag.
Yeah, it was a natural. And that's a fact. Of course, those tapes don't exist anymore. They don't.
I can't find them.
I'm going to tell you right now. You want to know something? I had copies of all of our TV shows on VHS.
Yeah.
And when I went to my storage unit at my condo complex to go and try to dig them up.
Yeah.
Because of this damn humidity.
The heat wave?
Yeah. Tropical heat wave. Got to all the tapes. They all corroded, molded.
No.
Yeah, I had to throw them all out.
Well, you called Sony.
That's for stuff that we keep in the office under AC. And even like master tapes, you know, what happens when it burns? They go away. Heat, man. Heat.
We're having a heat wave. A tropical heat wave.
All right, here's it. I'm going to tell you right now, this was an international survey. So be aware. As they say, global survey. So there's people from other lands that contributed into this because they asked 9,700 employees this question, and I have the top 9 answers on the board. And I'll give you what they asked, and then you try to get one of the answers. If you answer correctly, we have Stan and Haney Babaku Saw. Yes, it's back $50 to the Pewter Mug North in North Naples. I have one pair of corn tickets remaining for Sunday, the 28th, at Coral Sky in West Palm. One pair. I've got $25 to Bam's Restaurant in Naples. I have Sunshine Ace Hardware. I have Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers.
I'm so glad that song was real.
It was real.
And not made up.
Your job to guess one of these things that are on the list. There are 9 of them. You know what? I'm going to make it 8 once I tell you, because I'm going to give you the number one answer, because it's so obvious. New global survey was done of 9,700 full-time employees. And they were asked, what is the reason people quit their jobs? Why do you quit your job? Let's play Stan's What's on the List. Asked almost 10,000 people, why would you quit your job? I'm going to give you the number one because certainly it's the easiest. Not getting a raise. Not getting a raise is the number one reason people quit their jobs.
People quit over that?
Look at us.
Big up. Big up.
Can we have a raise?
No.
All right.
Nope, we just gave you one.
Yeah, 15 years ago. All right, so not getting a raise is number one. 2 through 9 available for you, 277-9600. Let me release the phones if they're working. Survey of nearly 10,000 people. Top reasons you quit your job. Number one, not getting a raise. What else is on the list. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Todd.
Todd, there are 8 left. Top reasons why you would quit your job.
The hours are too long.
I'm going to give it to you. Number 3 on the list, you're working too much overtime. They just are keeping working you and working you. Too many hours, too much overtime. Number 3 on the list, what would you like?
What day is the corn?
That would be on a Sunday.
I'll take the $50 at Peter Muggs.
You got it. Hold on. Too much overtime. You're putting in too many hours. This was only supposed to be a 40-hour job, and you got me putting in 80. I can't do it. The other one, I gave it to you. Not getting a raise. That's too easy. There are much more difficult ones on here. Ahoy, who's this?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Mike, we have not getting a raise, too much overtime. Another reason a person might quit their job.
Bad management.
Bad management. Hold on, I might work. Be able to work this out for you.
Is that an excuse?
Well, we're still here.
no, I think bad. All the bad management that I've dealt with, I never realized that that was a reason to quit.
I'm going to give it to you. Number 9 on the list are bosses who don't understand a family.
I mean, going back to when I was a teenager, yeah. I'm like, these people are stupid, but yeah. They're in charge.
Bosses who don't understand that you have a family, don't understand the time that you need.
Well, that's not really their job. It would be more of they don't know what they're doing
but
to me.
But they quit. I'll give it to you. What do you want?
Can I get a pair of corn tickets?
Yeah, hold on.
That's very millennial, though.
It is. Well, it's a recent survey. Number 9. Bosses who don't have kids, they don't really understand you, your need for flexibility, they don't let you take the time off.
Maybe we just valued a job more than most people.
We
I don't know.
Now, let me explain that. I mean,
because they really got
it's generational.
They really would have to go way out of their way to make me quit.
I remember my parents just saying, "You know what? I don't care. Get a job. Get a job."
And you want to quit your job? That's fine. You got another one?
Yep. You better have another job. Yep. No, you can't stay in the attic. Get a job.
But most of the time they were wrong, because the times that I went through where I'd get fired or whatever with radio, it was never for a long period of time.
No.
And all that would happen is I'd get this pressure from all the people around me. You know what? There's nothing going on in radio. Then you need to go out and do this and do that. And it did nothing but screw everything up.
Yeah, wow.
Because another radio job would come along.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are many times
you gotta wait.
Went and got another job, and then I'd have to quit the job because a radio job came.
And all that happened this one time where it really pissed me off, all it did was mess up my unemployment.
Oh, that. Try explaining to an unemployment.
Because I went in and.
Guy, that where are you? Have you gone on a job search?
Because I was getting such pressure of, well, you have to have a job. And I'd only been out of work for like 2 weeks. And I had filed for unemployment and been approved. But then I'm getting so much pressure, it's like, look at the classified ads.
Yeah,
so I did. And guess what? I waited. It was like some phone solicitor thing. And within a day, I realized they're running an effing scam out of this place. And I won't be part of it. But now, nope, you had a job and you quit it now.
You had to go to the unemployment office and they would tell you. First of all, anybody that's been in this business, this line of work, and you're out of work, it is not the typical, you know, go on to a monster or something and go and hope that somebody spots. No, it's a closed system. It's a closed system. So you'd go to the unemployment. Let's see your work search. Have you checked classifieds? Have you gone locally?
Just so you know, the
they don't understand at all.
Can't do that.
last 30 days.
All right, let's get. Yes, yes, sir.
Just so you know, the corn ticket's still available. The last guy wasn't qualified to win. He already won within the last 30 days. 60 days, yeah.
That sucks.
We've had two winners that have won within the last 60 days today.
Yeah. We may need to emphasize that more because it used to be 30.
Used to be 30. You cannot have won anything in the last 60 days. That's it's to stop people who just keep waiting the clock out and winning. Just give everybody a chance. So the corn tickets are still available. Ask nearly 10,000 people around the world. Why did you quit your job? Top 10 reasons. Here's what we got. Not getting a raise. Too much overtime. Bosses who don't understand. Can't run the business properly. What else is on that list? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is JR.
Hey, Junior. What do you think is on the list? Quitting your job. What reasons?
Not enough benefits.
Nope, not there. Let me tell you something. In this day and age, and Beasley has a lot of people that are part-time, and they ain't getting the benefits. Job comes first. Oh, you know about that too, don't you? You know what? A lot of people, they got to work, and companies aren't giving benefits. I'm telling you right now, if I was out of work and got a part-time job, I wouldn't be demanding benefits. I'd be, thank God I got a part-time job. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Troy.
Hey, Troy, how are you, buddy? What do you think's on this list?
Bored. They're bored from their job.
Bored. No. Think about you're entering the job force, you're at a job, and they say, we love you and we want you here at this company, but then after a while you're quitting because, ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Michael.
Michael, what do you think's on this list? Reasons people quit their job?
Too long of a commute.
Well, we're hitting all of them for Rob today. Let's see. Commute. Yes, number 7 on the board. Too much traveling. Too much traveling to the job. You got it. What would you like?
I'll take computer mug.
Done. Hold on. By the way, those corn tickets became available because somebody tried to win within the 60 days. So that's still. We've got Babaku Saw. We're going to hold off on the pewter mug now. Two today is enough. Got a pair of tickets to go see Korn on Sunday the 28th in West Palm. We have Bam's Restaurant. We have Sunshine Ace Hardware. Get yourself some stuff to fix up the house. And we got Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers locations. 10,000 people asked, why'd you quit your job? Not getting a raise, too much overtime, too much travel, bosses that don't understand. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brad.
Scatter, is that you?
That's what you call him.
Scatter.
You know what? He's a brilliant man. Why can't you admit it?
Are you kidding me? Scatter, what's on there?
I hated my coworkers.
Did you? Did you hate your coworkers?
Every single one of them.
Yep. Visceral hate.
You know what? I want you, Brad Scatter. There's two answers where.
Why can't you appreciate his genius?
Will you please? There are two answers on here where if I bent it a little bit, I could give it to you. But the actual I hate the people I work with doesn't necessarily fit. Be a little
They're
bit...
just not as honest as he is.
Good. What do you think? What do you think? More of an explanation other than you hate him.
They wanted to punch me in the face.
No, I can't get it.
Come on, punch me in the face. That's got to be there.
No, punch me in the face is not there. Not there. 277-9600.
Sorry, Scatter.
That guy, you know, I can't say it on the air.
No. I want to back you down off that, because remember, with all of this, what if he's right?
Sidebar here. Hold on a second.
What? That's got nothing to do with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, well, it. I have to be careful. 277-9600.
He's just misunderstood.
He's misunderstood because he's scattered. Oh, boy, who's this?
Bill from Bonilla.
What do you think's on the list?
Hit the lottery.
No. You know, I'll tell you right unless now.
You got a lot of those. Yeah. If I hit the lottery, yeah. I would just keep working.
Yeah, that's me. That's
well, then don't play.
I'd keep working. I'd just be able to be much more comfortable than I am right now. I'd still come to work every day. It wouldn't change me.
You prick. No palm trees and hammocks and fruity drinks.
It wouldn't change me at all.
Oh, the hell it wouldn't.
I'd still be the same lovable Stan.
Yep. You would. Yep. And sure it would work be. Like this.
What?
You hit the lottery, come into a S ton of money.
Yeah.
There would probably be a schedule where once a month for 5 minutes, I would have a special number I could call if I'd like to speak to you. Because that way you could say, oh, that's totally untrue. I never cut Haney off. He's got a special number he can call.
He's got a special number. You do have a special number.
As long as it's between 3:55 and 4 p.m. on the 25th, I'm available. Now, if he chooses not to use that...
I'm sure whatever it is can wait.
Of course.
Yeah. Right, there we go. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Mike from Naples. How
Mike,
are you?
Good, Mike. What do you think's on here?
We found a better job.
Now, that makes perfect sense.
It does.
That's positive, right?
It is, and I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Because number two on the list is you didn't have enough job opportunities at the place you were at. You got a better opportunity to work somewhere else. You didn't offer me the opportunity here. Place X offered me the opportunity. Yeah, what would you like?
What can Stella and I do?
Let me ask you. You haven't won anything in the last 60 days, have you?
No, sir.
All right.
Because they're really cracking down on
and
that.
And how's she doing, by the way?
Stella's marvelous. I appreciate it.
Great. I can take you to get some subs. You don't need anything from around the house with hardware stuff, do you?
Let's do that.
All right. I'm going to give you a gift certificate to Sunshine Ace Hardware.
God bless, Stella.
All right. Hold on, buddy. There you go.
She's a good girl.
Yes, she is. One more, and then is he available there on line three? Did you get him? Yeah, there he is. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jeff.
Jeff, what do you think's on here?
Probably the number one, not feeling appreciated.
No, that's so millennial. You know what? And I'm in a very generous mood. Being punished by your bosses for asking for a little bit of flexibility. Jeez. Number six. What would you like?
What do you have again?
I have Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, and Cape Coral. I have Sunshine Ace Hardware. I have Bam's Restaurant. I have a pewter mug. I already gave enough of pewter mug away. And I got barbecue saw. Did we give away the corn tickets?
I thought the guy had already won.
So we still have a pair of corn tickets, don't we? And we have tickets to go see corn.
Let's do Firehouse Sub.
You got it. Hold on. Okay, here's the list. And I was very, very flexible. I'm in a good mood today.
That's obvious.
Because you know what?
Because we're having a heat wave.
Tropical heat wave. Even if I hit the lottery, it's the same good guy stand. Radio's good guy. and you'd have a direct line.
You would be so drunk on power.
That I worry about. That I do worry about.
That's why I always thought the way to go is for me to be the elected official and for you to be the chief of staff, behind the scenes hatchet man.
Yep.
Because I think you would enjoy that.
Yeah, because I don't have a problem doing some of those things.
Not at all.
No.
That's quite admirable, Stan.
Here's the...
If anything vicious needs to be done, you're the first to raise your hand and go, I'll do it.
Because...
Need a beloved pet put down? I'd be glad to do it for you.
Let me tell you something. I got to say this real quick. My cat is out of control right now with the attacking.
But it's a wild cat. That's what you wanted.
Now, here's the deal. My girlfriend and I were talking, should we give the cat away because it's getting to be destructive? And she said, how are we going to give the cat away? You can't give it to an elderly person, and you can't give it to anybody that has kids. This is a cat, and it has to be a grown adult.
Because it's too dangerous.
Yes, you can't have it around kids. It will hurt a child. The cat will hurt a child.
It would stalk a child.
Yes. And I know that without flinching. And it would also be detrimental for somebody that, you know...
Couldn't defend themselves.
Correct. Like an old person. Can't do it. You've got to find a specific place for this creature.
Is she worried that it's getting close to being able to take her down?
No, she still wins. All right, here we go.
You're going to get rid of that cat?
Not yet. It's getting close. Nearly 10,000 employees were surveyed globally. Bosses who don't have kids and can't really understand your need for flexibility because you got kids and they don't want to work with you. Number eight, nobody got it. No access to mentors where you could go and get some advice.
Hmm.
That's what it says.
And you quit your job over that?
Yep. That's again, globally. Number seven, you have to travel too much to get to work. Number six, being punished for asking for a flexible work schedule. Number five, nobody got this, and I don't blame them. Not being allowed to telecommunicate, in other words, work from home. Number four, teamwork isn't encouraged. Hell, we've been
what
here.
What the?
We've been here for
this
27 years.
This is insane.
Years. Number three, too much overtime.
This is belly aching.
And number two, not enough opportunities to advance. The number one was
you know what? If we quit our jobs over having no opportunity to advance,
we're going to take a break. Stan
and Haney, crybabies.
Man, it's a bunch of whiners. 96 K Rock.
When you think America, you think apple pie, hot dogs, beer, baseball, and Stan and Haney. We celebrate Stan and Haney.
There you go.
Thank you.
On 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Coming up in about 25 minutes, our question of the week. We do it every Thursday. Jog a little something in the brain. It's not a yes or no answer. And we'll take your phone calls. Never ceases to amaze us when we ask our question of the week. Get all
you
kinds of answers. You never know. Because it's your story. It's your answer to our question.
It's that rare time where you can't get it wrong. Although people have tried.
Yeah. Yup. Let's get you updated on traffic
sometimes
for your drive home.
Sometimes it turns into a bit of a celebrity jeopardy situation.
Yup.
Now,
K-Rock Traffic. Jet's Pizza bringing us traffic, but I will tell you that right now on our traffic site, nothing is up to date. I'm sure there's something going on, but I'm told by the people that do traffic, all clear. And you are up to date. Hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully. Maybe there might be something in about a half hour. Hopefully not. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most... Never, I'm not even going to say it. Let's take a look at the headlines.
Yeah. Let's...
A lot of respect goes there to him.
Oh, yeah. Respect all over the place.
Yep.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right.
If you're like my friend Stan here.
Hi.
Yesterday, you got all excited about that app that shows you what you look like when you're old.
And I told you at the beginning, you laughed it off. It's dangerous, that app.
Well, I didn't fall for it.
Of course you didn't.
We'll tell you the ramifications of your decisions.
I'll tell you who did fall for it. A lot of the Democratic presidential candidates and their campaigns.
I wonder what Joe Biden will look like when he's
the
old.
The DNC issued to all the candidates, get rid of it. Tell your staff, everybody, take it out. Delete it. Now.
Yeah, they're very security conscious over there.
Yeah. Don't need a repeat of 16.
Yep. Mr. Podesta, we've just received an urgent email from Google, Yahoo, and MSN, and we need you to immediately change all your passwords. Evidently, they've been compromised according to this email. Idiots. We will tell you all this attention about Area 51.
Yeah.
There's been some fallout. And we'll explain.
In less than an hour.
Canada.
Our home in it? No, that's wrong.
It seems like they're such nice, polite people.
Eh?
I don't see this happening here, but in Canada, eh? A woman's car broke down. And three teenage boys made sure she got where she was going.
Good.
By pushing the car 4 miles.
Does not surprise me. They must have been French Canadians, too. Probably egged on with candy and treats.
What do you say, boys? Lady's got to get where she's got to go, eh? Yep.
Yeah.
Only one thing to do, heave ho.
Yeah. Show them a shiny coin, they'll do anything.
You got your ass kicked by a French Canadian.
I know I did.
And thrown into the trunk of a car.
I know I did.
You hurt. You got hurt.
I did.
Neighbors find chalk markings on the sidewalk and immediately panic, believing that burglars are casing their homes. Upon further review, it was not burglars. It was a child drawing pictures of asses on the sidewalk. And finally, Dateline, Port St. Lucie, Florida.
The armpit of Florida.
Port St. Lucie, Florida is where today we find our champion of the day. Our hero drank 33 beers, passed out in the strip club parking lot, but he woke up quick, just in time to fight the cops. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. We've said it before. A majority of all the bad things that happen in Florida happen in two geographical areas.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Myers, North Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Lehigh Acres, and then the other place, Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce.
So do like Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville, Orlando not count because they're too big?
Per population capita. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of people. And stories come out of there. But it just seems that the low scum of the pond are in those two geographical areas.
Well, you just think about it. How many times have you heard me say, Dateline, Port St. Lucie,
yep,
Florida.
Or Fort Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Can we today?
I'm not sure.
Have a little bit of laughter?
I'm not confident.
Thank you. I hit the button about 3 seconds ago. The machine finally decided to fire off. 4 o'clock fluffer time, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, and Fort Myers. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Well, Comic-Con 2019 in San Diego officially starts today.
Ah, excitement.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you probably didn't know about Comic-Con.
Top things you probably didn't know about Comic-Con.
Each year, Comic-Con is responsible for roughly $150 million worth of economic activity in San Diego.
Yeah.
None of which involves buying birth control.
Yeah. Laugh it up.
Some of the biggest movies of all time have been promoted at Comic-Con, and also Green Lantern. Don't let the $10 autograph sign fool you. If you wait long enough, the assistant lighting director from Return of the Jedi will sign your breasts for free. You do need to be cognizant of your personal safety at all times.
Yeah, you do.
Particularly when a heated war of words begins between the J.J. Abrams faction and the Lucas people.
Oh.
It's been going on a long time. By 1979... attendance was estimated at 6,000 people.
Yeah.
Plus all those moms waiting in the cars. If you meet someone who thinks Ben Affleck was the best Batman,
yeah,
odds are you're speaking to Ben Affleck. When people began dressing up in 1974, the most popular costume was Ghost of Gilligan. Things have loosened up over the years. For instance, now, a lot more attendees can cosplay as Thor now that he's fat. DC fans have their own brooding section. Covering yourself in blue paint is a great way to say, I love Avatar, and also, I'm lonely. And finally, the very top thing you probably didn't know about Comic-Con.
Yes.
This is on the down low. but they do have special private rooms for hooking up.
Oh, really?
Yes. They are very, very clean because they have never, ever been used. And that, my friends, is the Foreign Line.
Elvis has left the building.
The kid there enjoying Comic-Con. Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
By the way, at stanandhaney.com.
Yeah?
We're trying to get the icon back up so that we can...
Yeah.
And,
Why has that turned into such an ordeal?
It's an ordeal. I've been going back and forth with D-Train because he's got his paws on it now to try to get it up on the site.
Well, he's a capable man.
Yeah, and they send me the code. Do not share this with anyone, and I'm sharing it with him.
Everyone.
With him, and then he's coming back and he says, I need another code. Do not share this with anyone. Here's the code. So, over the last half hour, he's working so hard trying to get this thing up that he finally texted me back and said, the site's shut down. Now, keep in mind, this is with my own personal stuff. So now Amazon thinks that I'm up to no good. They're shutting me down and preventing us from putting the icon up. Email time.
It's best I don't say anything.
Yeah. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
What, Haney?
Okay, shut up.
What, Haney?
It shouldn't be that hard.
It shouldn't. They encourage it. You know, we want you to do this. It helps us. Helps you. And, because I sent it over to Rob yesterday, and Rob's pretty capable at this stuff, and he looked at it and said, what? And I said, well, I'll call D-Train tomorrow, and I'll
do
just...
Do not share with anyone.
Yeah, I'll call D-Train tomorrow. He'll do it. And when I told him, I said, Rob had problems, and so D-Train, because he's a computer guy, LOL, I'll take care of it. And now I've gone through, hold on. How many
secret... Now your personal accounts are locked.
Yeah, how many secret codes has Stan been sent? Because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... I'm up to 7 codes now. And then D-Train texts me, but they've locked me. This is from
They're
Tom.
They're very good at locking people out from their own accounts.
Yes!
But they never seem to catch the hackers.
They don't. I'm trying to do good things. Tom writes, ahoy, gentlemen. I have come to the conclusion that President Trump is pulling all the strings of the Democrats.
Yeah?
Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest of the Democrats in Washington are just living in Trump's world. Then there is the so-called squad. Everyone that they are four clueless nut jobs.
They're not even that. They are actors that were hired by an organization.
He knows that they are nothing but holla back girls. That is a Gwen Stefani song about girls who have to have the last word when they are insulted.
Seriously, if you're interested, you can look it up yourself. The guy that does the website, The Young Turks,
yeah.
After Trump got elected, he and one of his buddies got together, raised some money, and put out classified ads for people that would like to be Congress people, but they need to be women of color and all this. And so they apply to these classified ads. They interview a bunch of people and they said, okay, here's the ones that we like. We're going to bankroll them and try to get them elected. Now, they're the only four that got elected, but they had a bunch of people around the country lost. But these, they basically work for him. They're not independent people.
President Trump is just warming up, guys. I'm going to get some popcorn and enjoy the show. Signed, Tom.
Right man at the right time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, I am still laughing at your fiancé's response to my asking what her name is.
I think it was a wonderful response.
It reminded me so much of my wife and what she would say. So, Stan, don't mess things up because she is a keeper. So, hello, Mrs. Stanley Nowalonic. And, Haney, I apologize.
Okay.
So, what a great rally last night, huh, guys? You have to love Trump. He tells it like it is. One word will describe the next election. Landslide.
That would be an awesome thing for this country.
Did you see how the citizens of Mexico are now pissed off that the illegals are staying in Mexico because they are taking jobs and taxing the system? Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Well, it's a little something called Cloward Piven, and it wasn't supposed to be happening in Mexico.
So why is no one calling them racist? Sure, it's different when the shoe's on the other foot, right? I loved that the first attempt on the impeachment went belly up as well. One last thing. Do you guys think Mueller will testify? If he does, will he plead the fifth at some point? You guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
Jesus.
I don't know what's going to happen with Mueller, because he made it clear he didn't want to testify.
Yeah.
I don't think he was all that involved with the investigation.
Supervised.
And so if you put him in front of Congress, he's sympathetic to the Democrats, but he can only do so much what's in the report.
Yeah.
But when the Republicans start asking him questions,
yep,
that's big time trouble. And it's almost like the Democrats just realized this.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, let's postpone it a week.
Wait a second. You mean Republicans can ask questions? That's not what we wanted to do.
We'll be back. Question of the week is next. Stan and Haney.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Freak. And now back to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock. Everything that rocks.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Thursday. About 25 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. It's Thursday. Question of the week. Here's how this is going to work. I will pose to you our question of the week. It's going to jog something in your head. We'll do some traffic, and during that time, we'll release the phones, and you can answer our question of the week. Rob is going to screen them to make sure you want to answer the question, and it's not something else about, you know, tropical heat wave or something.
Or Milton Berle's crotch.
Yeah. These will be answering our question of the week.
Because there is a heat wave.
A tropical heat wave. Here's our question of the week. Feel free to answer 277-9600. What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you are the only one among your friends to have done that? Hey, I know among my group of friends, I was the only one that got to do this. What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you are the only one among your friends and family and all that to have done it? 277-9600. And it can be very basic things. It doesn't have to be something monumental. I was talking to my girlfriend last night. I said, this is the question of the week I'm going to ask. She says, I don't know what I would come up with. I said, yeah, you do. I said, you're the only person among your friends and family that you know of that got lost driving a car in Harlem at 2 o'clock at night. on.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. That's, you know, think of it along those lines. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. Although that was pretty spectacular. I was huddled down in the back seat hiding.
Fetal position?
Yeah.
Safety first.
Yep.
Dan.
Always think safety first. What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident that you are the only one that has done that among your friends and family? That's yours. I did that. I don't know anybody else that did it. 277-9600. Let's get a look at traffic, brought to you by Jet's Pizza. Then we'll take your phone calls.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, one thing on the board right now, and it's a hit and run. Fort Myers, South Cleveland Avenue, and College Parkway. And you are up to date. Our question of the week, this one, you own this one. This is yours. What is something that you have done? What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you are the only one among your friends and family to have done it? 277-9600. I answered it because it's. I wanted to think as bizarre as I possibly could. I flew the Goodyear blimp Stars and Stripes. I'm confident that people in my immediate circle of friends and family cannot say that.
That's impressive.
Who was the football player that we had on that blimp that day from the Carolina Panthers?
I don't remember because I didn't go on the blimp.
I know. And he was, you knew him. We were doing a promotion with a tire store, and the Goodyear blimp arrived in Naples, and we did our morning show from the Goodyear blimp. And there was a football player, an NFL player from Carolina that came up. He says, I'm going on the blimp with you. I said, well, who are you? And he told me who it was, and you knew right off the bat because we were talking to you at the radio station. And you go, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And
not in memory.
We flew the blimp. Well, the pilot flew the blimp all over Naples and Fort Myers. And as we were wrapping up the day, he says, oh, go ahead. Here, take over.
Take it for a spin.
Take it for a spin. And I flew the Goodyear blimp. Haney, what is something that you have? You got a lot of things.
No, I'm drawing a blank. Can you answer on my behalf?
What is something that you have done?
You know me well.
That you are fairly confident you are the only one among your friends to have ever done so?
I need you to answer for me. I don't know.
There's a ton of things. Look at all your music career. And
yeah, but I had all my friends with me, so that wouldn't be true.
Anybody you hung out with? Didn't you see somebody at an airport?
Oh, Larry Bird?
Yeah, and didn't you hang out with Larry Bird or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And when I was a kid...
I haven't hung out with Larry Bird.
And when I was a kid, I met Steve Garvey and umpire Harry Wendell Statt.
Okay, 277-9600.
See, the music stuff might seem obvious, but I had all my friends with me, so it wasn't just me.
I know that if you put your thinking cap on, you'll, like I asked Matt Mangus, and he told me he introduced a band on stage at the Nassau Coliseum.
Okay, I got in the middle of a fight between Randy the Macho
there
Man Savage and this other big guy.
You broke up a fight between a professional wrestler and an idiot.
I had to put my hands on Randy Savage.
Yes, there you go. Perfect answer. 277. Do you want to answer this?
I had to put a guy's head through a wall once.
What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you're the only one among your friends and family to have done it?
I mean, I have friends that do it now.
Oh, why can't I hear you?
Stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedians. Oh, because nobody else has done it that I know.
Ever did it.
I mean, I have friends that do it now, yeah, but they became my friends because they were stand-up comedians. There's none of the people that I grew up with that were stand-up comedians.
That's
or
brutal.
Ever did it.
That is brutal. What time was the feeling? What was the feeling the first time you ever did it? You had to go up on stage by yourself in front of a crowd.
I was fine because there was nobody there. The first time that I had to go up at like an actual comedy club and do it, and it didn't go well, that was the worst feeling that I've had in a very, very long time.
Did you get booed?
Bad crowd,
or is it was just
show.
Silence?
Silence, which is even worse, because at least a boo, there's some noise.
Was it bad material or just a bad crowd?
Bad crowd, early show. It was a 6 o'clock on a Saturday show, and they shouldn't do comedy when it's daylight out. I mean, but it was, you know, I didn't. I was. If Dave Chappelle went up at 6 o'clock, people would be laughing. So you know, it was a mixture of both.
Yeah.
All right. 277.
That's a tough.
It's tough. I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah, you can.
I'll tell you one funny thing. I had to do it completely bombed. There was a place, and I'm not going to mention any names. There was a place up in Cape Coral. It was a comedy club. It's long gone. And one of the radio people that worked here at the time, they used to work nights. You know who I'm talking about.
Initials?
His first name starts with an M. Worked with a girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he was like the host, the warm up. And then there was a bigger...
Was this that night we were all out drinking?
Well, we were. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And then I ended up sitting in with somebody's band.
You might have. Look, all I know is that we had to go and do the appearance.
We were all over the place that night.
And
is that the right night?
It was up in Cape Coral.
Yeah, and we ended up in Fort Myers.
I didn't. I ended up with a David M. somewhere else.
Oh, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
But.
It must be a different night.
So the guy from the radio station is trying to seriously do material. And he's bombing. He's bombing bad. Me, I'm three sheets to the wind. I am so messed up. And it was supposed to be my job after he got off and did his little act that I was going to go and introduce the headliner. They asked me if I would go and do it. And I got on stage, and I've never done stand-up before and don't ever intend on doing it. It really bothers me to do that. But I was drunk, and I got hit, I got up on stage and pretty much was the guy that gave him the hook and said to basically go sit down. And I did a couple of ad-lib, pissed off, get him off the stage.
Mm.
You know what? Baby, we'll try again next weekend with you. And it got the audience laughing pretty good. And he got so mad at me because I had the audience back before the guy. It was god-awful. Sorry about that, folks. Got
you know, the one time I did it and I was a kid, I did very, very well.
You did do it. And that's something I can't do. I can't do it.
But when I saw how crooked that business is,
it can be. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim, what is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you're the only one among your friends and family to have done it?
Well, there are dozens of things, I'm sure. But I'm trying to think of the one that's the most entertaining, and I'd probably say it's...
What a
braggart.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just...
braggart.
I'm kind of wild. That was a wild kid.
All right, well, then tell us. Give me one.
Slept with three girls in one night, simultaneously.
You're a liar. 277.
And even so, is that something to brag
about?
It's
nothing to brag about. Because let me tell you something, and I'm not going to say anything.
You know what? If it was years ago, okay, maybe you'd have bragging rights. But the way things are now,
yeah,
it's like, and?
Yeah.
With the apps that you got now,
yeah,
that's not difficult.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Lee in Cape Coral.
Lee, what's something that you've done that you're fairly confident you're the only one among your friends and family to have done it?
Traveled to Moscow for a few days.
You went to Moscow? What were you looking for a woman?
I wouldn't go admitting that in the current climate.
Looking for a woman?
No, a group of us from Florida were invited to train in Russian martial arts from the master over there in Moscow.
Oh,
really?
Nice.
Yeah,
probably a lot of kettlebell lifting, huh?
kettlebell?
Yeah.
Yes. Did you have to do that with a lot of kettlebell?
That's how you train in Russia.
That's how, with a kettlebell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
was never there.
There is some of the kettlebell, but it wasn't in Moscow. Believe me.
Okay. All right. See you. 277-96.
I love this song.
All right. I'm glad you discovered it. And she does have the definitive version. Ahoy, who's this?
Murphy from Fort Myers.
What's your first name?
Murphy.
Hey, Murphy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's something that you have done that you're fairly confident you're the only one among your friends and family?
You know, I had a guy that used to cut my grass by the name of Jesus Murphy. You any relation?
No, sir, not at all.
Go ahead, Murph.
I was the first one to start smoking weed at all, my friend.
Are you proud of that?
He called a radio station
to brag about that. All right, here we go. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Dick the Painter.
Hey, Dick the Painter.
How's business, Dick?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, everybody's insulting me, but I...
How is that an insult?
How is that an insult?
No, you brought up Larry Bird.
Yes.
I'm probably the
insulting.
Only guy that... Actually, I insulted him.
You insulted Larry Bird.
I did. I was down painting a house in Pelican... way down where he used to live.
Yes.
And we watched him. We saw him the first day. The second day, I walked out and kind of watched him play the par three. And he was nice enough to walk over to me. And I said, I'd shake your hand, except I'm a Knicks fan. And I'll never get over it. I feel so bad about it. But I insulted the poor
How
guy.
Could you be a Knicks fan? At that time, that was the laziest team in the league.
Yep.
No, this was a while ago. This was probably...
I don't remember. 20, look.
15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, Pat Ewing was the biggest embarrassment basketball's ever known.
I'm not going to sit here and listen.
Look, when I was really small, I was a Knicks fan, but because the Celtics used to play some of their
I got two
home
words
games,
for you, pal. Reggie Miller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the Celtics used to play in Hartford for a while, so I became a Celtics fan. The last good Knicks team was 1973. There hasn't been a good Knicks team in decades.
Just
and that
chronic
goes,
underachievers.
That's the 80s, the 90s, the aughts. They sucked.
And they thought Pat Ewing was the savior.
Yep. I don't see any rings on his hand. Patrick Ewing.
What an embarrassment.
Yep.
What a waste of resources.
Let me tell you something. Patrick Ewing was no Dean the Dream Meminger.
Far from it, Stan. Far from it.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, it's Keith Naples.
Steve from Naples, what's something that you have done that you're fairly confident you're the only one among your friends and family to have done it?
Well, we were all kind of there, but we used to hang out at Al Lopez Field, the old sombrero, by the old sombrero, watching Cincinnati Reds and used to shag fly balls back in the 70s, 75, 76, 77.
Holy, you were able to go out on the field and snag flies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. George Foster,
oh yeah,
Steve Rose, all
yeah.
the guys.
Big Red Machine.
Now let me ask
the Big
you,
Red Machine, yes sir.
As a kid doing that.
As a kid,
If it was me and I had that opportunity, I would have made sure every year that I went out and did that, I'd grab that baseball and have that team sign the ball.
Well, when George Foster got up, you know, you didn't catch him. They were over the fence.
Yeah, he one year hit 50-something home runs.
Amazing.
Yes, sir.
That was such a great team.
Yep. The Big Red Machine. That's a dream for every kid. You'd be a bat boy or go and during batting practice go out and snag flies. One more and then we got to take a break.
The Big Red Machine was something. And, you know, we can only imagine what might have happened if those Oakland A's could have stayed together.
Oh, yeah. Three in a row they won. I'll tell you something. You know what? Knicks have been trying for an NBA championship for a long time.
It's like a, well, I can't use that language.
Yeah, let me tell you, Starks was no Earl the Pearl Monroe. I'll tell you that. Just facts are facts. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Chad from the Cape.
Chad, what's something that you've done that you're fairly confident you're the only one among your friends and family to have done it?
I landed on an aircraft carrier once.
Oh! Whoa.
How did that happen?
Tell me in 30 seconds. Tell me about that.
Well, my grandfather passed away, and while I was at the funeral, the ship went out. So they flew me back out onto the ship. I went out on the same plane where they take the mail and supplies and stuff like that.
That's so cool.
Wow.
It was very cool. I think taking off probably would have been better, but didn't have a choice.
I don't care that.
You take whatever you can get.
You take what you can get on that one. Great one. Great one to end on. Mark Haney in the news is next.
96 K-Rock.
Car accident, dial #529.
We do this show nude from the waist up and also the waist down. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
No, I'm telling you right now, the only one they had worth a damn was Charles Oakley.
Yeah, Oakley was all right. You know,
shame to see him waste his career like
I'm
that.
I'm looking at these players. Rory Sparrow, what a bum.
Ba-dum, bum, bum. Yeah.
You know what? I was no Bernard King fan either.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When he went out to the Sonics, he did pretty well.
Yep. Who else was on that teams in the mid '80s? Trent Tucker, bum. Gerald Wilkins, bum.
Yeah, he had a brother, didn't he?
Yep. He did.
Yeah, he was famous.
Patrick Ewing.
Oh, boy.
Pat Cummings, bum. Yeah, I'm looking at these 80s Knicks rosters.
I'm telling you, Oakley was the only one worth a damn.
Ernie Grunfeld.
Pooh.
Bum.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. What a waste of time.
Yeah. Waste of a franchise.
You know when I would watch a Knicks game?
When?
Whenever Reggie Miller went to the Garden, because it was guaranteed entertainment.
Yeah.
And they hated him, and he'd break their heart every friggin' time.
See Spike Lee there, not knowing what to do?
Oh, yeah. You see Patrick Ewing getting dunked on by the Flying Dutchman. Big, gawky white guy can barely walk. Poster jam.
Rob, do I have traffic? Is there any, you can, if you want to put it up on the screen, I can read it. Maybe I can't. That's far away, and I don't have my contact lenses.
I don't think you'll be reading that, son.
No. You want to read it? Hold on. Let me get the traffic is brought to you by.
Can he read?
Yeah, I think so. We'll find out. Traffic.
You don't want to put him in a bad spot like that.
You can read, can't you?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
You probably should have asked ahead of time.
You should have. Traffic. Brought to you by Jets Pizza. Hit it.
Where's my deal? Lehigh Acres on Lee Boulevard.
There we go.
North by the CBS.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
That is it.
All right. What do we got?
Lehigh Acres on Lee Boulevard and Homestead Road North by the CVS. There is a crash. And that is it.
Okay. And you're up to date. One more traffic update in about, 25, 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
Direct from our newsroom in color, this is the news with Roger Mudd in Indianapolis, David Shoemaker in Indianapolis, Don Webster in Saigon, Robert Pierpoint in Washington, Robert Shackney in New York City, and Jim Kincaid in Hewlett, New York.
Hi, I'm Garrett Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, July 18th.
Double MXIX.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Our top story that really everything else takes a backseat to this. I have a new favorite song. It is the greatest song I've ever heard.
I can't believe you never heard it.
Stan hit me to this.
Yeah.
And I am in love.
We're having a heat wave.
tropical heat wave. The temperature's
everything's
rising.
Great.
Yeah. It isn't surprising. She certainly
there's nothing crazy going on.
Started the heat wave.
Keep telling yourself that.
Just a heat wave. Yeah. A tropical heat wave.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Oh, I needed that.
I know. I know you did. I know you did.
Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
You know, we were just talking about what bums the New York Knicks are. Stan, who do you suppose was the first athlete to ever receive a $1 million endorsement deal?
I think I know. Well, endorsement deal. So you're not talking salary.
No, a $1 million endorsement deal.
Reggie Jackson.
No. You want to guess, if you can't get the name, you want to guess what sport? First athlete to ever get a $1 million endorsement
deal.
See,
why the reason I'm thinking Reggie Jackson or baseball is because that had to have happened in the 70s where baseball was still king. I'll go off the beaten path and I'll say football.
Not even close.
What?
The first athlete ever to get a $1 million endorsement deal was Don Carter.
He's a bowler.
A champion bowler.
Don Carter was like a bowler in the 60s and 70s.
He got a $1 million deal in 1964 to endorse bowling balls by Ebonite.
Get the hell out! Yeah. Him and Petraglia went head-to-head a few times.
Well, you know, I am squarely in Johnny Petraglia's corner.
You and I both are.
He is an underappreciated American treasure.
Yeah.
You familiar with the program Beverly Hills 90210?
Aren't they doing the reboot of that?
I thought they already did and it failed.
I don't know.
And then the guy died.
Yeah, I thought they're doing that for a TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know. Jason Priestley's a bitch.
Yeah, damn right he is. We know firsthand.
Well, I probably blew your mind yesterday with the Beverly Hills Cop stuff, but this will take you right over the edge. This will show you what Hollywood does to things. Beverly Hills 90210 was not the original title for that. The writer pitched a show called Potomac 20854 to be set in Maryland. Imagine somebody might have been writing about their childhood or something.
Yeah.
But if you want to get a TV show made, executive at Fox said, okay, we like a story about teenagers, but it needs to be in a place more recognizable and snazzy. So, Beverly Hills. What if, we love your idea, but just what if we were to take your friends and family that you've written about from your own personal memory?
Yeah.
What if we were to change them all into much more attractive people and have it set in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, much better. And I think even before then, it was Estero 33928. That's what I think. I swear to God. And they said, geez, at least go to someplace else. And then that was rejected. And then the Beverly Hills.
Well, you might be right, Stan.
Estero 33928.
You know, Vermont is not an impressive state.
What? Vermont's beautiful.
Not an impressive state, Stan. I'll have you know this. The tallest building in Vermont is only 124 feet.
That's good.
And that would be what they call the Decker Towers in Burlington.
Okay. Yeah.
More weird stuff with maps. You know, I always thought growing up, because of what I'd see on television, that California would be like the same place Florida is, but on the West Coast. When you actually look at it, it's so far north.
It is north. I'm looking at it right now. Look at the map. There's Florida and where we are. And then look at California. But even Southern California is north.
Southern California is still well north of the Panhandle.
Yeah.
But they get the rep for sunshine and palm trees. No, that's us, baby.
Yeah.
But along kind of the same lines, if you locate Salt Lake City on the map, it doesn't seem like it would be this way, but Salt Lake City is almost exactly parallel to New York City.
New York City?
Yeah. Doesn't seem right.
Which I don't know my states. Which one's Utah? Is it the purple one there?
No, it's the one next to Nev.
Oh, okay. So
not Idaho, because that looks like a potato. The one right under it.
The yellowish one?
Like orange.
Okay, yeah, the orange. And all right, to the top of the state. Hey, it looks level. To New York City.
Salt Lake City is at 40 degrees, 46 minutes north latitude. New York is at 40 degrees, 47 minutes.
It's almost exact.
Like a straight line.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it doesn't look that way.
It doesn't.
That's why it's always best to use a ruler a yardstick.
Yeah.
Then you see. Yeah. And you go, well, there it is right there.
I like a good yardstick.
Well, how about that? Now, you got to be careful with a tape measure, though. That's not as reliable.
Right.
But you get yourself a ruler or a yardstick.
Yes, sir.
By God, you'll go places, son. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
The Diamond District sells more diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida. Therefore, they buy more diamonds than any other jeweler as well. This season has been extremely successful for Jason and Todd, and they're currently buying diamonds at a rapid pace to replace inventory. If you've ever thought of selling your diamonds or trading in on something new, now is the perfect time to visit the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point. Diamonds and jewelry can be rare pieces and command very high prices when evaluated by experienced and qualified professionals. The Diamond District has several GIA graduate gemologists and buyers on staff every day to help identify your treasures. The Diamond District has the largest selection of Forever Mark and GIA loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find online. Your diamonds and jewelry could be worth lots of money and should be evaluated by an expert. Visit Jason and Todd and discover why more people choose the Diamond District when selling or trading their diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, Canadians have a pretty good reputation.
Well, they're cheap.
But they're polite.
Yes. Yes, they are.
This is a very Canadian story. Three teenage boys in Canada were out driving at around 1 in the morning. I'll give you one guess as to where they were headed.
A bar?
Tim Hortons.
Oh, okay.
And on their way there, they noticed a woman broken down in the middle of an intersection. The boys are Bailey Campbell, Aaron McQuillan, and Billy Tarbett. They are all between 15 and 18.
And you know, they're French Canadians. Look at them. You know, they play hockey.
Oh, yeah. That's probably a line right there. Right wing, center, left wing.
Yep.
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 The woman there with the car broken down in the middle of the intersection. The car was smoking. No way it was drivable. The woman had no idea what to do. Didn't have money for a tow truck. But the boys were not going to let her down. So they talked it through. And she said, I really just need to get home. Well, home was just over 4 miles away. So the boys said, no problem, eh? And pushed her car for 4 miles
down
the road.
Sounds like three Canadian boys.
Freaking Hanson brothers.
Yep.
So they're pushing the car down the road. Not the safest thing to do. So another random Canadian stopped and said, hey, what's going on here, boys? Oh, well, we're just trying to help this lady get down to our house about 4 miles. Okay, eh? Well, we got to think about safety here, boys. You're good boys. You got a good idea pushing the car here, but we got to think about safety. So what I'm going to do, boys, is you go ahead and push the car, and I'll follow you behind with the hazards on so nobody runs into you.
The hazard on.
We don't know that the bystander was French-Canadian, Stan.
Right, it's true. That's true. Nothing plural.
This trek took about 2 hours.
I believe it.
That's pretty good time, really, for pushing a car.
Yeah.
So I guess it's automatic now that things are just posted to social media. The boys managed to get to bed somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 a.m. And by the time they woke up, they'd gone viral.
I believe it.
The guy who followed them with the hazard, eh?
None other than the Golden Jet Bobby Hull.
It turns out the guy who followed them is the one that posted the photos on Facebook praising the boys. And all of Canada has fallen in love. Everybody's looking at the pictures of them pushing the car.
Yeah.
And one of the boys said simply, he hopes it inspires more people to step in and help someone in need. Now, we may need to contact that young man and explain to him, no. That's not what you do.
No, that isn't.
That's Stan has admonished me and explained to me that's not the way to go.
No. By the way, everybody associates Tim Horton, the coffee shop up in Canada. Read about Tim Horton. He was a big star in the National Hockey League. Wanted to go and branch off and open up coffee shops. Very tragic death with him. He was a superstar in Canada, Tim Horton.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't mind being a superstar in Canada.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not trying to be greedy and go for like Rush level success. I'd settle for like Triumph level success.
Yeah, Triumph. Tim Horton was a hockey great. I think he might even be in the Hall of Fame.
A woman in the town of Ramsbottom, England.
Yes, sir.
Recently noticed weird symbols drawn on her sidewalk in chalk. She immediately posted to the community F-book forum about it and asked, what does this mean? There were a bunch of them. And they all looked identical. Each one was a circle with a sinister single line
back
drawn
and to his left
from the center. Back and to the left.
Back and to the
back and to his left.
other people on the forum immediately knew what this was and panicked the woman, telling her that is the mark of burglars casing the place. The drawings were there to let their crew know which houses to rob.
Yeah.
So she completely panicked, wet her pants, and then called the police. But then one of her sane neighbors saw the post and was nice enough to explain to the panicked woman what had really taken place.
What happened? What was it?
It turns out the sane neighbor told the woman that their small child had recently become obsessed with drawing butts and drew a bunch of them on his way home from school that week. Disaster averted.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, well, we have a newly minted hero today.
Who?
Well, you all know the stories about bad Leroy Brown.
Yeah, meanest man in the whole damn town.
You know, you don't mess around with Slim.
Yep.
You know about Big Bad John?
Yeah.
Well, it's about time you met Michael Monahan.
What about Monahan?
Last week, police in Port St. Lucie, Florida, received a call from a strip club regarding a gentleman passed out in their parking lot. When police arrived on the scene, they found 48-year-old Michael Monahan face down with his fiance rubbing his back continually
back
and to his left and to the left.
Where was it? How? What was it?
Back and back to the left.
And to his left.
The police then heard the fiance say to Michael, and I quote, "Be calm. Please don't fight them."
Whoa.
And I don't know if this woman is mentally challenged or just young and naive, but there's really only one way a drunk man will ever respond to someone saying, "Be calm, please don't fight them."
I'm ready to go to jail tonight!
So he went from half passed out to up on his feet and challenged the cops to a fight.
Oh, sure, sure.
Once they got the cuffs on him, they were able to ask Michael some questions.
Sure.
And, you know, they've got to fill out the paperwork, and even if it's obvious, they have to ask the question.
Right.
"Sir, you've been drinking today?"
"I'm fitting to go to jail tonight."
Monahan gave them an answer.
He did. Did he?
"I'm fitting to go to jail tonight."
"Well, have I been drinking?" "Yeah. Yeah, I've been drinking. As a matter of fact, I drank 33 GD beers. How you like that?"
Uh-huh. "And?"
"In case you ain't so good at math."
"Yeah.
That's more than 3 mf'ing gallons."
He was charged with disorderly intoxication and resisting arrest. Big bad job. Oh, have I been drinking?
Yeah, let me tell you.
And I'm not talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking to somebody else. And that's the news for today, Thursday,
there he
July
18th. Little Monkey Haney selling it like it.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Monkey Haney selling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
Just a friendly reminder that life is good in the afternoon with Stan and Haney.
96K Rock.
Rob's show coming up at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home. Jet's Pizza bringing it to us.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Two things on the board. North Fort Myers got a crash. Pine Island Road and Woodward Avenue. And in Fort Myers, got a crash. I-75 southbound at Daniels Parkway, right by the racetrack. Great. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
We've missed the boat, men. I don't know if you fellas have ever lost a lot of arguments with a woman. I have. I think women can think out of both sides of their brain at one time. I swear to God. Oh. Look. Look. Nobody wants to be superior to women more than me. It just hasn't worked out. But women can't seem to be able to combine emotion and intellect at the same time and fight like that, which to a man is like fighting the devil. I mean, we men, we have a lot of good qualities, but combining rage and information ain't one. We can't talk to people when we're pissed. That's how championship wrestling got started. You know what I mean? Some guy, you're going to rue the day you stole the remote control unit from the mighty Thor. Damn it. The darkest moment in a relationship with a woman seems to be when she stops complaining. To me, that should be followed by a snake rattle. If Mother Nature would help at all. You know, Daryl, I've changed my mind. You and your friends go out tonight and have fun. Oh, yeah, Jim, the trip's off. Women solve problems faster than men. You ever see a woman dial the wrong number? Operator tells her to check the number and dial again. She'll check the number and dial again. There ain't a man in this room that will check the number and dial again. We're going to dial the same damn number. Only this time push the buttons a whole lot harder. Wrong number, my ass. See if it sounds like three fives and a 60 you now.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Question of the week. Here's how this is going to work. I will pose to you our question of the week. It's going to jog something in your head. We'll do some traffic, and during that time, we'll release the phones, and you can answer our question of the week. Rob is going to screen them to make sure you want to answer the question, and it's not something else about, you know, tropical heat wave or something.
Or Milton Berle's crotch.
Yeah. These will be answering our question of the week.
Because there is a heat wave.
A tropical heat wave. Here's our question of the week. Feel free to answer 277-9600. What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you are the only one among your friends to have done that? Hey, I know among my group of friends, I was the only one that got to do this. What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you are the only one among your friends and family and all that to have done it? 277-9600. And it can be very basic things. It doesn't have to be something monumental. I was talking to my girlfriend last night. I said, this is the question of the week I'm going to ask. She says, I don't know what I would come up with. I said, yeah, you do.
I said, you're the only person among your friends and family that you know of that got lost driving a car in Harlem at 2 o'clock at night.
Yeah. There you go.
I know. That's, you know, think of it along those lines. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular. Although that was pretty spectacular. I was huddled down in the back seat hiding.
Fetal position?
Yeah.
Safety first,
yeah,
Stan.
Yeah, always think safety first. What is something that you have done that you're fairly confident that you are the only one that has done that among your friends and family? That's yours. I did that. I don't know anybody else that did it. 277-9600. I flew the Goodyear blimp Stars and Stripes. I'm confident that people in my immediate circle of friends and family cannot say that.
That's impressive.
Who was the football player that we had on that blimp that day from the Carolina Panthers?
I don't remember because I didn't go on the blimp.
I know. And you knew him. We were doing a promotion with a tire store, and the Goodyear blimp arrived in Naples, and we did our morning show from the Goodyear blimp, and there was a football player, an NFL player from Carolina that came up. He says, I'm going on the blimp with you. I said, well, who are you? And he told me who it was, and you knew right off the bat because we were talking to you at the radio station, and you go, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And
not in memory.
We flew the blimp. Well, the pilot flew the blimp all over Naples and Fort Myers. And as we were wrapping up the day, he says, oh, go ahead. Here, take over.
Take it for a spin.
Take it for a spin. And I flew the Goodyear blimp. Haney, what is something that you have? You got a lot of things.
No, I'm drawing a blank. Can you answer on my behalf?
What is something that you have done?
You know me well.
That you are fairly confident you are the only one among your friends to have ever done so.
I need you to answer for me. I don't know.
There's a ton of things. Look at your music career. And
yeah, but I had all my friends with me, so that wouldn't be true.
Anybody you hung out with? Didn't you see somebody at an airport?
Oh, Larry Bird?
Yeah, and didn't you hang out with Larry Bird or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And when I was a kid,
I haven't hung out with Larry Bird.
And when I was a kid, I met Steve Garvey and umpire Harry Wendell Statt.
Okay. 277-9600.
But see, the music stuff might seem obvious, but I had all my friends with me, so it wasn't just me.
I know that if you put your thinking cap on, you'll. Like I asked Matt Mangus, and he told me he introduced a band on stage at the Nassau Coliseum.
Okay, I got in the middle of a fight between Randy the Macho
there
Man Savage and this other big
you
guy.
You broke up a fight between a professional wrestler and an idiot.
I had to put my hands on Randy Savage.
Yes, there you go. Perfect answer. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim, what is something that you have done that you're fairly confident you're the only one among your friends and family to have done it?
Well, there are dozens of things, I'm sure. But I'm trying to think of the one that's the most entertaining, and I'd probably say it's...
What a braggart.
I'm kind of wild. That was a wild kid.
All right, well, then tell us. Give me one.
Slept with three girls in one night. Simultaneously.
You're a liar. 277.
And even so, is that something to brag
about?
It's
nothing to brag about. It's nothing to brag about.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.